All right, welcome back. Adam the Bull with you on CBS Sports Radio. And CBS's Super Bowl season continues tomorrow with a triple header. First, live from London, the Tennessee Titans take on the L.A. Chargers. Then Tom Brady and the Patriots coming off a thrilling win over the Chiefs collide with the Bears, followed by a big NFC East showdown between the Cowboys and Redskins. Wake up with the NFL today at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific, and start your full day of football on CBS. We go from the NFL to college football. A lot of big games on today's slate. Ralph Russo, college football writer of the Associated Press, is with me now. Ralph, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Bull. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm excited. You know, I'm in Big Ten country here in Cleveland, so let's start there. And Michigan State. I was just, I got my producer, my local show is a big Michigan fan, and we had to give him a hard time because the other day was the third anniversary of that blown punt by Michigan at the end of the game where Michigan State wins, which is one of the most unbelievable plays I've ever seen in college football. Michigan, though, in great shape. Actually, both these teams coming off great wins last week, Ralph. Who do you like in that matchup?
Yeah, they are, though in very different styles. It's hard to really fully embrace Michigan because they've had such hard time in these rivalry games. They've lost two out of three to D'Antonio's team, including that crazy punt game. And last year in the game there, they were sort of favored to win and at home against Michigan State. So I think understandably a lot of folks are still a little skeptical about embracing Michigan and Harbaugh as a true playoff contender, but I think they're just a better team here. I really do. I think Michigan State sort of pulled one out of its hat last week against Penn State. They haven't played particularly well in a lot of phases of the game, other than the fact that they stopped the run really well. So I understand the skepticism on Michigan and wanting to see them do it, want to see them sort of cross this hurdle. But I think Michigan is like clearly the better team here. I think they're a team that's like sort of figuring out like the best ways to use Shea Patterson and how that offense should function.
Yeah, if they get it done today, that'd be interesting because, you know, if we get to that Ohio State-Michigan game and one team is 12-0, 11-0, one team's 10-1, that would make it even more exciting than it is. And as you said, Harbaugh hasn't beaten Ohio State at all. Speaking of Ohio State, they play Purdue, which is not an easy place to play, especially at night. They're 3-3, but they've played better, you know, of late. And some of their losses were tough losses. Ohio State's undefeated, but not without flaws. The secondary, the running game's been a little spotty, which is unusual for them. Do you think Purdue gives Ohio State a game at home?
Yeah, I think they can here. And I know a lot of Buckeyes fans. I did a show or a podcast with some folks in that part of the world last week. And as soon as it was announced that Purdue was a night game, they were all like, oh, no. That's the last thing we need here. Purdue can really move the ball offensively. That freshman Rondale Moore is spectacular. They've gotten great play out of Blau, the quarterback. I don't know if they can stop Ohio State enough, but my guess is this is going to look a little like a Big 12 game. I would be surprised if the winner didn't get to 40, and if the loser wasn't possibly in the 30s. I'm not sure. I wouldn't necessarily put my money on Purdue to win this game, but I think that they got a puncher's chance if they start going up and down, and I think it has a chance to be one of those type of games.
Which of these two SEC teams more likely to be upset? LSU at home against Mississippi State or Kentucky at home against Vanderbilt?
Oh, I think LSU. You know, it's funny because LSU's played so well, and they played so well last week against Georgia. But I think if you sort of took the records away and took the team names off and sort of put like a statistical profile, I'm a very numbers-heavy guy.
Sure.
If you put a statistical profile of each of these teams, LSU and Mississippi State, next to each other, they would look pretty similar. Neither team does much in the passing game. Both teams have found pretty good running games. They both try to get their quarterbacks involved. If anything, Mississippi State's defense probably creates a little more in terms of like big plays. You got one of the best defensive lines in the country with Montez Sweat at defensive end and Jeffrey Simmons on the tackle side, causing a lot of pressure. I think LSU is very hard to beat at night in Tiger Stadium. But, just to go by the line, I think it's like LSU by 6. I wouldn't be surprised if Mississippi State covers that thing. I think these two teams are a lot more similar than their records indicate.
We're talking with Ralph Russo, college football writer, Associated Press. Ralph, Notre Dame is off this week. They'll play Navy next week. And, you know, the rest of the schedule, they have some solid teams, but nobody's spectacular. If they go undefeated with Georgia going down last week, if they do go undefeated, is there any chance they get left out of the playoff?
No, and the reason why is I think we get too locked into the idea that, oh, this team will go undefeated, and Clemson will go undefeated, and Alabama will go undefeated, and Notre Dame, and Ohio State.
Right,
like, it just never happens that
That's
way.
Right.
Most likely, we'll get to that Selection Sunday on December 3rd with one or two teams undefeated. So if Notre Dame is one of those two teams, they will almost, I would bet my kids' college fund that they're getting
right
into the playoff. There's no way. I do think that, though, you know, you're right. They don't have any necessarily games that you'll look at and say, oh, that's a top 25 opponent. I think Notre Dame's offense has been sort of skittish enough that they could slip on one of these games. I could see
right
a Florida State, even in South Bend, being a problem. I could see a Syracuse.
Right.
The other thing Notre Dame has is this crazy travel schedule where they're in San Diego next week to play Navy. They come back and play Northwestern in Chicago. They play one home game during this last stretch against Florida State and South Bend. Then they do Syracuse in Yankee Stadium, followed by USC in Los Angeles. Like, that's a weird schedule that I think sets up for them to slip somewhere along the line. Now, they could go 11-1 and still slip in, but obviously it becomes a lot more complicated then.
Who is the, when you look at the AP poll, I guess, right now, who do you think is the lowest ranked team that you still think has a chance to make the college football playoff?
Oh, that's a good question, because you usually get one that comes off the pack, off the
yeah
pace a little bit. It's traditionally you've had something in that like 10, 11, 12 area.
Yeah.
Like, the first one that jumps to mind is Oklahoma. I think they're 9. I'm trying to
yeah
remember who's
yeah, sort of in, you got it. You got
yeah
it, 9.
I'm trying to remember who yeah might be a little lower than that, that could come off the pace. I think Oklahoma at 9 could be in good shape if they just win out, you know? I mean,
right,
they'll possibly get Texas again in the championship game. They'll have a West Virginia team on the road in their final game, which should, you know, listen, West Virginia got exposed a little bit, but that's still a pretty good team on the road, so you'll be able to sort of bank that resume there. Yeah, I would say that, you know, again, to me, I with the first one that comes to mind is Oklahoma, so I'll say Oklahoma.
Is the Pac-12 completely done? Like Oregon at 12 at 5-1? I mean, is anybody in the Pac-12 have a chance?
Yeah, that would have been the best chance for Pac-12, and maybe
yeah
Oregon might have been a good answer for your last question as well.
Yeah.
Listen, they got to win out. They absolutely have to win out, and even then, it's not fair. Oregon got stuck with this really terrible non-conference schedule with no Power 5 teams. Essentially, they had scheduled a Texas A&M series for this year. Texas A&M bailed out.
Right.
So it left Oregon scrambling to fill a schedule. But the committee doesn't want to hear that. And that's fair. The committee shouldn't take that into consideration. Your schedule is your schedule. So even Oregon at 12-1 is going to have an uphill climb, because anybody else with that record and that conference championship on their resume is probably going to look better than Oregon. So Oregon needs, and the Pac-12 needs, a little chaos where maybe, you know, the Big 12 cannibalizes itself and some weird things go on in the Big Ten to try to clear some of these other teams out. Now you also throw Notre Dame in the mix. They
right
need Notre Dame to also get knocked off a couple of times.
And Oregon's got a tough test today because they're at Washington State. That should be a great game.
It should be. I just glanced at game day and it looks like an amazing season,
yeah,
you know, with all those flags out there. And you're right. Listen, you know, Washington State hasn't been fully tested yet, but their one loss is a close game at USC. They're going to throw the ball a zillion times. I think Oregon's got a really nice offensive identity with Herbert, the quarterback, who I think is going to be a really high draft pick next year. They've got an offensive line that's really coming along, but I'm not sure they yet have sort of a Pac-12 championship level defense. But we'll see. I mean, if they win this game, they're in really good shape to get to that 12-1 area.
Ralph Russo with us from the Associated Press. Ralph, Nick Bosa announced this week that he was leaving school to get ready for the, you know, combine. He's leaving early, and yeah, you know, he was hurt, and we don't know when he'd be able to come back. But you know, we've seen some guys that were going to be top draft picks miss bowl games and things like that. Do you think this will continue a trend? Do you think we'll see more and more guys leaving school in their last year if they know they're going to be a top 10, 15 pick?
I think you do. I would say I would caution to sort of jam the Bosa story into those other stories. I do think it's part of a bigger picture, right? I definitely think that Bosa fits into the bigger picture, which is kids saying, this is my last year here. What is the best way for me to deal with what's coming ahead of me, which is the draft, which is super important? So how do I balance? I want to play. I want to be a good teammate. You know, I think what a lot of people sort of like underrate is about this whole conversation is how much football players like to play football. I mean, it sounds as simple and silly as that, but like, you know, guys like to play. Like Ed Oliver, I talked to, you know, the Houston defensive tackle, who's a tremendous player, might be a top five pick, you know, and he declared before the season that he was going to come out and this was going to be his last season. And he said one of the reasons why he did is, like, listen, I really like to play. I love playing for Houston, and I just want to be done with that, and so people aren't asking me about it. But ultimately, I don't want to skip games if I'm healthy because I like to play football. So,
right.
So I think there will still be more of this. There will still be kids who are doing these, making these types of decisions. But I think what will hold it back so it's not necessarily an epidemic is the simple part of, yeah, man, football players want to play football, and they don't get to do it that often.
Last thing, Ralph, is Alabama just a class above even the other elite teams in college football?
I suspect they are. You know, there may be some problems. You know, listen, it's Alabama problems. It's first world problems. They may have some components of that defense in the back seven that aren't quite as good as they have been. They're working in some new corners. But the thing is to really take advantage of that, you're going to have to slow down this offense, which is, you know, at another level. I don't know how anybody's going to keep them in the 20s, nevertheless 30s.
Yeah.
So when that's what you're faced, I'm not saying that they're unbeatable. You know, I think Clemson's really good, and I think Ohio State has the type of offense that could get into an up and down game and start trading scores with a team like Alabama, but I just don't see very many possibilities for them to get beat without them giving their opponent a whole lot of help in terms of turnovers and penalties and things like that.
Ralph, great insight, man. Thank you for joining me.
Thanks, man.